we will go ahead. Oh, one more, one.
Hi, Andy. I wasn't here last week, but I'm inspired to sort of touch on a koan-like feeling that I get almost every day, and it's that boundary between no self and absolute and relative self. Mm. And I feel that often, and now when I feel that sort of confusing boundary, I often, if I embrace it as a koan, it sort of holds that and it makes sense of it a little bit. It's so non-intuitive that, you know, where is myself? Well, I'm right here, but you're not. You're ever, you know.
Yeah.
So that's such a hard concept, but I kind of hold it in a koan, and that holds it together for me.
Oh,
so
nice.
I don't
like that.
Go crazy.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah. All right. We'll go ahead and move on to tonight's topic. So as I said, we're going to be talking about sesshin tonight. So the first bit is, why do we do sesshin? So sesshin is a silent meditation retreat where everyone who's practicing follows a communal schedule for the length of the sesshin, morning to night. We get up together, we go to sleep at the same time, etc. And so the length of the sesshin, whether it's a half-day event or a week-long event, everybody moves together. It's a valuable and useful way of deepening our practice. And it can also be hard. There's lots of meditation, and that can sometimes feel like, I've heard it described as a Zazen marathon. but there can also be, it's also a really precious opportunity to escape our everyday distractions and turn inward. In sesshin, we incorporate all the aspects of our typical daily lives, like eating and cleaning and all kinds of work and rest, into our meditative practice. So we do all those things that we do outside, well, not all those things, but many of those things, we do them in sesshin, but we do them in a much meditative way, in a quiet way. And so we move collectively, but also individually. So, you know, as we move about, we make efforts to, there's very little direct communication. We make efforts to not distract other folks around us, to not disturb others around us, and just talk only as much as we need to do the work that we're doing. It's a really, really wonderful to practice this way together, to move together and at the same time focus on just this thing that we're doing right in front of us. It's a really lovely experience. When we're in sesshin, we often go through kind of an internal process of relaxing and letting go and settling as we progress through the sesshin. So it can start out, you know, if you do a full like week-long sesshin or really any length of sesshin, I think the pattern is kind of the same. You start out like, why did I decide to do this? What, you know, there could be a lot of like talk about, this was kind of a silly thing for me to decide to do. And then, you know, you sort of settle and relax and really start to feel the benefit of it. You find that your resistance softens, and we're able to devote our time to exploring what's really most important to us. The sheer quantity of Zazen generally leads to our thinking mind slowing down so we can just be, like rather than thinking and, you know, analyzing, we're just here in the present. We notice things that we might not have noticed in our busy daily lives, like I often notice in sesshin after I've done a lot of Zazen, like the quality of light, you know, in the windows can just be different. You just notice it in a different way, or noticing the sounds of the birds when they're settling down in the evening, or the food's always better in sesshin. The food's always so good in sesshin, no kidding, because you like it, it's you like you sit and then, oh, we get to have food now. No matter what it is, it's like so exciting. So it can be really freeing to not have the usual our usual social interactions and, you know, getting away from our devices. And there's also a tremendous sense of intimacy with other participants that develops through sesshin. As we work together, as a community, and we each of us are doing a part, playing a part in kind of holding that container and moving that sort of moving along together. Like we each have a role to play in the whole big picture. And Sasheen also offers opportunities for really profound insights, both big and small. These insights can be about our relationships, ourselves, reality. So those are some of the reasons to why we do Sasheen. And I'm going to hand it to Rage you now, I think, to talk about the schedules of Sasheen.
So, on your handout, you can find a couple different examples of various lengths of Sasheen. So, we sort of use the terms Sasheen and retreat basically interchangeably. Often, Sasheen will refer to a longer one and retreat to a shorter one, but there's no hard and fast distinction. So. Here are three examples and three ways that people might find a way in. So one of the ones that we offer, which is about once every other month, is a half day Zazenkai. A Zazenkai is a day. So a half day is a half day. And we also have a full day Zazenkai, which is 12 hours, 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. But we're looking at the half day Zazenkai. So this might be a good way in if you are new to sitting, new to practice, or if you have some sort of body needs that are more difficult to meet in the Zendo itself. So if you need to move a little bit more, if you need to lay down more often, laying down is actually always okay. You can lay down right now if you want. But the half-day Zazenkai has a bit of a more flexible schedule to try to meet some of the needs that might arise, especially from aging bodies or bodies in chronic pain or bodies that have chronic illness. But anyone is welcome to come. So they start right after lunch. Well, yeah, they start right after lunch, about 1:30. There's a little bit of an orientation by the teacher who leads them. Then there is sitting meditation and optional sanzen, which is a meeting with a teacher. So, for instance, Colleen was a leader for our last half-day Zazenkai, and did you offer sanzen?
No, Gyoshi did.
Gyoshi offered sanzen. So, sanzen isn't always offered it's never offered during full-day Zazenkai, so that might be another reason to check out half-day Zazenkai. So it's meeting one-on-one with a teacher. You can bring something that's up for you in your practice, something that's up for you in your life, and get some compassionate listening and response from someone who has wisdom and experience. There's a little bit of kinhin, which is walking meditation, and then more zazen, and then there's a tea break, like we have usually on Wednesdays. And then there's an evening service, which is fukan zazengi, which you're familiar with, because we did that. And then there's sort of an expansive period where you really get to listen to your body and listen to your mind and decide what is best suited for you. How can you best meet the needs of your body mind for the next couple hours in terms of doing zazen? So you can sit in here, you can do kinhin. Often people are sitting outside, which can be really nice when it's pleasant. Then one of the things that we almost always do at the end of Sasheen, regardless of the length, is offer closing statements. So just a brief statement of what it was like for you to participate in that activity. So that's one way in to Sasheen. Another way in is a beginner's day retreat, which is a longer thing. I think they're offered maybe three times a year. And that goes from 8:30 to 5:30. And the purpose of beginner's day retreat is to make a really welcoming space for folks who are interested and maybe are looking to see how this might work for them. It's also really available to anyone with any degree of practice. If we think of Shinryu Suzuki of the San Francisco lineage talking about Zen mind, beginner's mind, you can practice beginner's mind by coming to a beginner's retreat regardless of the length of your practice. So beginner's day retreat is really set up to demonstrate some of the different forms that we do here. Forms just means things, the way we do things. So it's an introduction to some of that. There is sitting, and there's more periods for question and answers. So if you are wondering, like, why do we do the form like this? You can ask it amidst a bunch of other people who probably have the same question. Or if you want to know more about Oryoki, which is a formal style of eating, which we don't do at either Zazen, half-day Zazenkai or beginner's retreat, but you can ask about it. And if you're curious about anything else, like, there are question and answer periods. So it's meant to be really welcoming and really sort of simple and basic, so you can kind of get away in that way. So the main difference between them is beginner's day is longer and there's more talking. Half day Zazenkai really holds the silence and really allows you to listen to your own experience about what's needed for you. And then finally, on the back side, we have a sample day from a full sesshin. So what that means is sesshin, what we typically call sesshin, are 5 to 7 days. As Yusatsu mentioned, our next one is starting a week from today, and it's called Sajiki. We'll talk more about that. And they're kind of really intense, or at least they can be. They can be really intense both because of the body experience. The wake-up bell is at 4:30 in the morning, and the good night time starts at 9:30. So that's limited for the amount of time that you can sleep or rest. And sometimes you are invited to do yaza, which is extra zazen, if you want. That's always optional, though. And so you can see how dense this is. There's usually something like 6 to 10 hours of zazen a day, depending on the particular sesshin. And you are totally allowed to sit, stand, lie down. Those are acceptable forms for zazen. But the periods are longer, so there is less opportunity for movement. So they can be kind of physically taxing. There's also work periods. So those are all done in silence, as Colleen was saying.
And what's really lovely about them is this whole schedule. Oh, go away. Can you move away? This whole schedule that starts at 4:30 and ends at 9:30 is everyone moving together in harmony. And I'm going to stop because that broke, and also my time is up.
Is that other microphone? Well, it didn't break, it just stopped.
It's Christina's turn, so she can use that.
Yeah.
So Christina is a longtime member here and has also practiced at Green Gulch and some San Francisco lineage, and she's done quite a bit of sesshin. So she's going to give us a few insights into her experience practicing with sesshin.
Thanks. This is a good intermission time for fixing up the thing. And will you either tell me when the time, or, yeah, okay, cool. Okay, so, yeah, I'm Christina. I'm a practitioner here, and when I was given an option of things to talk about, I was like, retreat, because I like it. I like it a lot. And I was trying to reflect on, like, why do I like it, or what has been valuable about it for me. And I think just in the last, like, couple years, it's been a really nice way for me to, like, refresh my practice or, like, recommit to it, or just kind of, like, encounter it in a deeper way and then be like, yes, this is like important to me, right? It's a way of showing that or remembering that for myself. And then a lot of the things that Colleen already mentioned, I thought of too, like it's been super useful for me, this idea of, like, eroding away the resistance. I think resistance is a very natural thing to arise from, like, waking up at 4:30 and whatnot and, like, doing many, many periods of zazen when your body and mind might be like, I really don't want to do that. but just with the like incessant nature of the schedule and the many days of doing it, that resistance really, it starts to go away. Or if it's there, it's like inconsequential because you're just doing the thing. And it becomes really, I don't know, it just changes. And that's been really useful for me as someone who like has a lot of resistance to a lot of things. It's like not easy to take the time, even maybe for a full day, but certainly like a full week. It's not easy for me. I like have a full-time job and I'm a parent to an elementary age kid, so it's hard to make the time and to like, do I want to use my PTO for this thing versus like many other things I could be doing. But once it's been arranged and like I'm know that that's what I'm doing, then it's very easy, right? Then I'm just, I show up and I do what I'm told. I do what the bell tells me to do. And I know that I've like set aside and protected this time to really be wholehearted about practice in a way that like, while it's easier to come every Wednesday in a way, it's also harder because I have to like leave my house every Wednesday and make that decision over and over again. So that's something that's, I don't know, it's just special to have like that time carved out to do this practice. And then there's something else I think about just the amount of hours, like getting in the reps of Zazen. And while I don't think Zazen's like a thing that you get like better at over time, like playing the piano or something like that, there is just like a bank of stillness and depth to draw on. And with Sesshin, because it's like, you know, it's like you're dipping in, maybe you come here on Wednesday, it's like dipping into that stillness for like half an hour, and that's something. But like doing that, there's just like an amount of depth and presence that's hard otherwise to experience, I think. And then so many hours of doing that, it matters in my body. I've been able to draw on that at times in my life that were really difficult, or like I was really dysregulated, and then just taking that posture, that body posture that we chanted, you know, this evening, that has allowed me to access whatever that thing is of the bank of hours that I'm talking about.
Thank you so much. There's actually, so Christina, as I said, has a lot of practice experience with Sesshin, but there's actually many of us in the room who have a lot of practice experience with Sesshin. So if you are curious to hear more stories about what Sesshin might be like, you can ask us. Maybe if you've done at least one Sesshin, you could raise your hand. Nice. So there's a lot of wealth of knowledge of what Sesshin might be like. And it, like my experience is it changes every time and it's the same every time. So there's a koan. So we have a Sesshin starting a week from today. It's called Sajiki. And in a few minutes, we'll have the teacher who's leading it, Joshin, tell us a little bit specifically about Sajiki. But I also want to give you some options for how you might participate in that particular Sesshin, because we're going to invite you to do that. So for all the Sesshin that we offer, the morning period, you can drop in either in person or you can drop in via Zoom. And the same is true in the evening. You can drop in person in the evening. We don't do it on Zoom in the evening. Of course, you can register for the whole Sesshin if, like Christina mentioned, you are able to arrange all of your other responsibilities thusly. And if you can, wonderful. And if you can't, that doesn't mean you don't get to participate. You can, as I said, drop in the mornings and the evenings, but you can also do part of it. So for all of our Sesshin, if you can come for just one day, if you can just make it work for one day, that's permitted. It's also permitted to come for just part of a day. So you would have to talk to the Shuso, in this case, Yusatsu, to see which particular days that might work for. But that's also an option.
Another thing that you can do is come to some of the public events. So for instance, for Sajiki, there are several ceremonies that happen on Sunday that are available to everyone, and that's a way to get a taste of Sashin without having being here for the rest of it. We've got two special ceremonies on Sunday that are open to the public, and hi Joshin. Joshin might speak to those a little bit more. So there's what I want to encourage is that you have a taste of it somehow. And one final way that you might be able to participate, even if you can't come in person, even if your schedule doesn't work to be on Zoom, or if you just really need that sleep, please get that sleep. You can remember that Sashin is happening, and you can hold that with you and carry it with you, whether or not you're able to sit for more than a few breaths of Zazen at a time. Sashin is happening, and that's important and valuable. So I will turn it over to Joshin, who, as I said, is the teacher leading Sajiki, and she'll tell us a little bit about what this particular Sashin is about.
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So Sajiki.
Ooh, that's a very good breath.
I was working with it.
Weird feedback, you say. Try now? Try now?
Okay, okay, let's see if this works better.
Is it this time?
Yeah.
Does that make a difference?
Is that better?
Let's see. No, I think I just have to live with it.
Oh, dear.
We'll roll with it.
On this button. Try speaking now.
Okay. That's a little bit better. I still hear myself with a delay, but it's not as loud. So I'll just go. So Jiki is an annual festival, and it is one wrapped in a great deal of ceremony and symbolism. The ceremony itself comes from a very, very old story in Buddhism, and it's one that I'll be talking about in the Dharma talks in the evening. I'll at least reference it. For those who have attended the Sajiki ceremonies before, there's usually something that is noticed or attended to anew each time. So even if you've come to Sajiki and if you've seen the ceremonies once, well, come again because you might encounter something new. Sajiki can be hard for folks because the theme is often working with karma. And I want to encourage people to lean into your own personal karma. But you don't have to dredge up your deepest and darkest emotional hurts. So I just ask people to attenuate what they choose to work with during the retreat and take care of yourself. And throughout the retreat, there will be teachers and seniors available to help support the container and help guide. Is that sort of what you wanted to have me talk about, Riju?
Can you talk to us a little bit about the ceremonies and the hungry ghosts and remembering people who have died and those bits?
All the sacristy stuff. The ceremony in the morning on Sunday morning is a symbolic way of very deliberately constructing a welcoming space. So all of the Buddha images are covered and everything is turned around backwards in the hall. So the altar is in the back of the hall near the entranceway. And we make this welcoming space and we invite in hungry ghosts, all of these old unresolved karmas. So if you've studied the six realms, then the hungry ghost realm is one of those six realms. And it's beings marked by unsatiated craving. And they're often depicted in particular ways with little skinny throats and big round bellies and food turns to fire and pus in their mouth. It's a very painful state of being. So we construct our hall and recite particular scriptures that we only do once a year. Some Zen centers do this on a monthly basis. We do it once a year. And we invite that in. We have an altar laden with sweets and salty snacks. But also on that altar are things from the mountains, the fields, and the seas. So representing all of these places we take nourishment from. And we invite these ghosts in. And there are dharanis that are chanted that we only do once a year. And these dharanis symbolically ease the suffering of those hungry ghosts. There's a point in the ceremony where the doshi throws a little bit of donut at the window, sort of symbolizing that this is extending even out from the hall into the world. So we invite the ghosts in and we sit with them for the day. And we will likely have some of our, or most of our Dharma school joining us for that ceremony. And in a way that we haven't done in the past, so that will be new. So we sit with our hungry ghosts, we sit with our ghosts for the day. And then in the evening, there is another ceremony, Seiji Kitoro, which is done outside. And a big bonfire is created. And during that evening, we each have an opportunity to write down on a little slip of paper something that we'd like to let go of, whether it's an old hurt or an unrequited romance or the job you didn't get, something that is still lingering, that is still sticky. And we have an opportunity to offer these into the fire as a way of releasing them. It's a very symbolic way of releasing them. And all of the merit lists that are, all of the merit lists and all of the merit cards from the past year are also burned in that fire. So releasing our dead. And during the morning ceremony, sort of jumping back, I'm a little bit out of order here. During the morning ceremony, while we're processing the names of those who have died or who have never been remembered at a Sajiki ceremony are read during one of the recitations. And it said that no matter where you are in the hall, you can hear your person when their name is read on that list. But it's a way of honoring our dead and bringing them forward to be with us as we sit into this time and this place where the veils are thin and those ghosts walk with us.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
That's all. Thanks so much.
That's all. Right. Thanks so much. All right, so now that we've talked a little bit about Sesshin and we've heard a little bit about personal experience with Sesshin and about the upcoming Sesshin, we have just a little bit of time here for some Q&A if you have any questions. I have a couple of question prompts for you if these are of interest to you. What's enticing about Sesshin if you've never been to one, and what makes you unsure, or what makes you unsure about it? So anybody have a response to either of those questions or any other questions about Sesshin?
Okay. Just a quick question about the schedule. You said we could come for like the evening. Would that be at 3 p.m.?
You can. You can, if you want to come just for the evening sitting, you can come at 7 and stay through the Dharma talk. Reggie didn't mention the Dharma talk, but Joshin mentioned a little bit. Each evening of a sesshin, generally each evening of a sesshin, the priest who's leading it gives a talk during Zazen, and that's a really poignant opportunity as well. So, but you can talk to any of us after class or at some other time, and we can help you figure out what time works best for you. But the answer is yes. 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 anybody else? Questions, thoughts? Okay, so we're pretty close to wrapping up our speaking content for tonight. I'm gonna give you the prompt for next week, and then we're gonna sit a little bit of Zazen and have formal tea. So we're gonna do something that we do during Sesshin every night, most nights of Sesshin, where we finish Zazen with formal tea and then Vespers. And so we're gonna have that experience tonight together. So your prompt for next week, sort of already alluded to this. I feel like we're kind of doing a sales pitch a little bit. see if you can participate in some of Sajiki. Attend part of a day or join by Zoom if you're able to. Or if you're not able to participate, hold the sesshin in your practice as you go about your activities next week. From next Wednesday evening through Sunday evening, remind yourself and be aware that others are sitting a sesshin at the temple. And what do you notice about holding the sesshin in your mind and heart? So, you know, we won't have class next week because the sesshin will be starting at this time next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks and hope to hear some. Or next week at sesshin, but in terms of class and responding to this prompt, hopefully in a couple weeks you might have some response to that. Okay, so we're going to go into a little Zazen now.